But yeah, so last time we talked about a lot of good stuff. Of course, the topic is financial freedom. I want to see every person free of debt, just pure and simple. I want everybody to be free of debt. I don't want anybody to carry debt. And our primary focus last time was to look at a budget, because it all starts with a plan. If you have a plan, if you execute that plan, you have a chance of succeeding into whatever you're doing. And then once you've got that budget all laid out, and you really need to understand the budget. If you're spending more than you're earning, you got to make some decisions. You've got to take some stuff out of that budget. Maybe you can't go get your nails done. Maybe you can't go out to eat three times a week. You need to cook at home. There's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy cooking at home. I do it all the time. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. The only time I will cook at home, if my wife is gone, she knows, but she doesn't want to eat my cooking anyway. I don't mind eating my cooking, so. But yeah, so you've got to make some decisions on some things that you need to take out of that budget so that the money you're earning can take care of your debt. And bottom line, you just can't spend more than you make. That's just a simple, basic principle. You cannot spend more than you make. If you do, you're just going to be in a big hole. You're never going to get out of the debt. I was talking with a colleague a couple days ago, and just what happened, we got talking about credit cards. There's nothing wrong with a credit card as long as you pay it off at the end of the month. But just a simple example there. If you have a credit card with like $1,200 balance on it, your monthly payment is going to be somewhere around $25 a month. That's the minimum monthly payment. Guess how long you'll pay $25 a month? No. 10 years. Because of the interest that you're accruing. All you're doing is paying interest. Yeah, come on in, folks. Come on around. Yeah, all you're doing is paying interest. So you're going to sit and pay on this credit card for 10 years, and you end up paying over $3,000 on a $1,200 bill. Let's just say instead of paying it all off at the end of the month, we increase the payment, almost double it, or a little more than double it. We take it up to $51 a month. Then we're going to pay it off in 3 years. That's not a good option either. You're sitting, you're paying something for 3 years that you should pay off at the end of the month. There's nothing wrong with credit cards. I'm telling you, most people have them. I have one, but you know what I will do if I use it? I'm going to pay it off at the end of the month, or I'm not going to use it. If I know I'm not going to be able to pay it off at the end of the month, I'm not using it. This young lady over to my right, she's the same way. She's not going to use it. So it's a matter of making sure you're disciplined. And we have some very disciplined people in here tonight. I'm telling you, I know that, just based off of what I'm seeing. So you got to be disciplined, and you got to make sure you're making the right decisions when it comes to financial savviness. And again, pay it off at the end of the month, it's done. Instead of sitting there paying interest and not paying anything really towards the principal, it takes you forever to pay it off. So let's make sure we figure out a way to eliminate the debt. And again, you need to look at all the things you have and figure out a way to bring that debt down. And as you bring the debt down, you take that extra money and just go into other places. And that's pretty much a summary of what we talked about last time. And I want to just kind of open it up to the folks that were here last time. Any questions, and people that are new here, any questions about eliminating debt or a budget? But it all starts with that budget. If you don't have a budget, you don't have a chance, because you don't know what you're spending, and you don't know what you have to spend if you don't have a budget. Any questions or comments on a budget or eliminating debt? Because I do want to go into eliminating debt in a little more detail as well. Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you can afford. And like you said, Marion, it all starts with priorities. I mean, you got to eat, you have to have somewhere to live. You know, you want some kind of transportation, but maybe you can't afford a car. You have to have a bicycle, or you may have to walk, or you may have to use public transportation. There's nothing wrong with any of those options, because I'm telling you, I could utilize them all myself if I didn't have a car to get around, because I've got to get to work. So I'm either going to ride my bike, I'm going to get on public transportation, or I'm going to find somebody that will allow me to ride with them, and maybe I've got to pay them. But I got to get to work so I can pay for things. Yeah, no, thanks, Marion, for sharing that. Any other comments from anybody? But yeah, so back to the example I was using with the credit card. So you need to pay more than the minimum, not just on the credit card, but also on that mortgage. You want to get that mortgage done. You want to get it done. But I still would advise you, as you're trying to get out of debt, to kind of focus on either the highest to the lowest balance that you have and pay it off. But once you pay it off, you've got to take that extra money that you just open up to start paying down other debt. Every person should be debt-free. Just that simple. And I'm not calling debt utility bills and food and gas for your cars. That's not debt. I'm talking about you going out buying a car and financing it. You're going out getting stuff on a credit card, you know, and you're financing it because you're not paying it off at the end of the month. That's debt. And you want to eliminate that. Take it all away. Just imagine, and you know, and I don't know what anybody's financial situation is in here, but if you do have some debt, just add it all up and see how much money you would have extra each month if you didn't have that debt. And think about it. Say it's $1,500 or $2,000 a month. So you can save $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year, huh? Right? So you got that money, $2,400 a month, excuse me, or a year, but you got that money, and you can keep building it. And when the washing machine breaks down, you have money, you can go out and buy a new washing machine. You don't have to go to Lowe's and put it on a Lowe's credit card and pay them $25 minimum balance for 20 years. Okay? So really work on start paying more than the minimum on bills that you have. And, of course, you need to review your budget and change some things around, eliminate some things. As I said, if you can't afford to get your hair cut every week, you may want to go to every 2 weeks or once a month until you can afford to get it cut every week. But let's make sure we put those things in priorities. Look at that budget and make sure you're doing the things that you really need to do. I heard the word priorities. Take care of those priorities first. Make sure you take care of those. You need to make a debt payoff plan. So, you know, you list all that debt out. You've got the car, you have the truck, you have the moped, you've got the boat, you've got all these things. List them out and say, okay, I'm going to pay this car off in 2024. paying the truck off in 2025, and just list out and create some goals for yourself when you're going to have some of this stuff paid off. And you got to stick to that, okay? You've got to hold yourself accountable to make sure you pay those things off. And again, once you pay them off, you create that extra money, but just put it on that next debt. Next thing you know, you have zero debt. And you can go out and buy that brand new car and pay cash for it if you wanted to. Or you can keep saving. And we'll talk about it a little bit. What do you do with that money that you're saving? There's some good things you can do with it. Okay? Interrupt me if you need to, young lady. I'm not a fan of credit cards as far as taking balances over month to month, which you've heard me say many times now. But people do get in a situation. I had a friend that he told me, he said, "Hey, man," he said, "I've got $15,000 on a credit card, and I've had it for some time. Any suggestions of what I can do?" I said, you know, the only suggestion I have for you is, you know, there are some people out there that will allow you to get a credit card with a 0% balance. So maybe you want to transfer that $15,000 to a 0% balance card. And you've got to be disciplined to pay it off, though. Otherwise, the interest is going to hit you again. And this friend finally came back to me a few years later and said, "Hey, I appreciate the information you gave me. That's what I did. I transferred to that 0% credit card. I paid it and paid and paid it. And I didn't have it all paid off when it was time for the 0% to kick in. But what I did do is I found another 0% interest card." So he transferred the balance over to another one. So he went a few years doing that, and he didn't pay any interest and finally got the $15,000 paid off. And he promised that he would never take a balance over month to month again. Because the problem with a credit card is it's so easy to use, and it's so easy to go buy something, and you see this little small payment thrown at you. Next thing you know, you do have $15,000 balance on that credit card. So you don't want to get into that trap. Use a credit card for what you need to use it for, but pay it off at the end of the month. And I know I've said that about 20 times, and I'm saying it for a reason. Because if you have a credit card, I want you to pay it off at the end of the month. If you can't today, that's fine. Take the suggestion that I had. Transfer that big balance over to a 0% interest card and then pay it off, certainly over time. Okay, if anything I'm saying doesn't make sense, please raise your hand and we can talk through it, okay? You know, I know there's some people will call up a company and they'll negotiate a lower bill. You know, a couple things about me, and it's not debt. It's like DirecTV or cable. So I don't mind calling them and saying, "Hey, guys, guess what? I think you need to look at how much you're charging me. I think you're charging me too much. And I want you to come up with a way to make this bill go down." And 9 times out of 10, I'm always very successful. They will take it down for a year or 2 years. And then I've gotten so good at it, I've created a notice on my calendar, call DirecTV on August the 7th, 2023. So I'm going to call them before it runs out, and I'm going to say, "Hey, you know, at this point, I mean, honestly, if they don't lower the bill, I'm going to drop them. And I'll tell them that. And I will go through with that." And she know I will, too. But she's not gonna let me drop DirecTV. So I may be bluffing a little bit, but in most cases, they lower the bill. And I'm saying that you probably can do that with a car payment. I don't know. It's worth a try. And if you can get them lower the payment, figure out a way to pay it off sooner by that payment being lower. So it's worth reaching out to them. And, you know, and most people have a lot of stuff. You know, if you got a lot of debt, you might want to think about selling some of that stuff. You might want to think about selling some of that stuff so you can eliminate some of that debt. My wife's looking at me again. She know I have a lot of cars. So she told me, she said, hey, some of these cars got to go. And I said, okay. So I had to sell some cars. It's just we had too many. We had too many by her standards. and I listened. We got rid of some. And I still have one more to get rid of. And because she told me, she said, another truck's not coming here until that truck's gone. So that truck's got to go one way or the other. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to sell. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to sell. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I probably could have sold it a couple times, but I still need some way to haul stuff. So I haven't really been willing to negotiate with anybody. I've been like firm, but I'm getting closer to getting the truck. So I'm probably gonna let it go now. Yeah, so sell some stuff to help create some money to help pay debt off. Another way is to get another job. You can get a part-time job. You know, maybe it's something you need to do temporarily to help you pay that debt down. Or create yourself a side hustle or, as I like to call it, create another stream of income. Create another stream of income to help you pay that debt down. And you may be lucky. You may create another stream of income and find out that, hey, I'm going to always have this extra stream of income. And you just kind of put yourself in a much better place. You know, I always like to say every company that I know from a manufacturing standpoint have more than one product that they make. So they know. For us to be a strong company, we've got to have multiple streams of income. So we've got to have different products, different customers. And as an individual, you need to do the same thing. Create those extra streams of income. And they can help you achieve at a high level and help you eliminate the debt. You know, if you're not debt-free in here tonight, make a plan to become debt-free, okay? Make a plan. And again, stick to that plan. You know, it may be 20, 30 when you say you're going to be debt-free. That's okay. You've created a plan. Or you may say it's going to be 2023. You're going to be debt-free. Whatever you do, set an aggressive plan and work through it, all the details, and make sure you achieve that, okay? But I want every person in here, if you're not debt-free tonight, I want you to create that plan to become debt-free, okay? You know, and as I stated, as you do pay debt off, utilize that extra money that you've created to go towards the other debt, and that'll help get all your debt gone.
But do you have other specific things that
Denise asked about? What's my philosophy with eliminating the mortgage? Because I think everyone should eliminate their mortgage too, because I consider that debt. But certainly early on, most people are going to have a mortgage. But you need to create a situation where you're going to eliminate that mortgage. I am a big fan of a 15-year mortgage. Don't get a 30-year mortgage. Get a 15-year mortgage and get it done quick. And I'm a fan of a 15-year mortgage, but my goal has always been to pay that mortgage off in less than 7 years. So with what Deneen was saying, not only do I believe in a 15-year mortgage, I believe in what she said, pay more towards the principal, even with the 15-year mortgage. And in 7 years, you don't have a mortgage. I have no idea what the average mortgage payment is, but let's just say it's $1,500. You got $1,500 that you can save each month now because you no longer have a mortgage. You can do a lot of stuff with that money that you're paying on the mortgage. You can invest it to make more money. Absolutely. I mean, you pay off your mortgage, now you have a lot of extra cash that you can go out and do a lot more with. I can tell you, it's not a tax advantage for me to have a mortgage versus not having a mortgage. I have more money in my pocket without the mortgage. And that's what it comes down to. What puts more money in your pocket? I have much more money in my pocket without the mortgage. Instead of the tax incentive that I could achieve with it. But thanks for that. I say that those utility items need to be the last things that you focus on. You certainly want to focus on all those other things first, but I'm with Marion. So we need to figure out a way to eliminate those utilities. And I'm a scientist by nature, and I've been experimenting with solar power. So I've got a couple of solar panels that that she beats me up about that I'm experimenting with, trying to figure out how am I going to get the angle one day to where I don't need Duke Power or Duke Energy. I'm going to rely on the sun. I mean, I'm telling you, if we don't have the sun, we're not going to survive. So I'm going to be able to have power as long as we're able to survive because that sun's going to be there. So I need to somehow figure out how to leverage solar power to wipe out that electric bill. So that's the one I'm working on right now, Mary. Yeah. No, great discussion. Great discussion. So next thing I want to talk about is investments. And as I said last time, I'm not going to tell you what to invest in. That's a choice that you'll have to make with a financial planner. But we'll just talk in general about some things around investments. And we'll take a shot at looking at some stocks and seeing how a stock performs. We'll plot some stuff up on the paper there, on the chart, just to show you some of the things you need to look at when you are investing in stocks so that you can make some decisions yourself or talk with your financial planner and make sure they're helping you make the right decisions. But investments are really critical because they are streams of income. There are streams of income, and you need to understand what are the four most common investments that you can certainly get into. And number one that most people talk about is owning a business. So I encourage every person here tonight, create a business. Create some business that can generate income for you. Okay, so a business is an investment. You know, having houses that you're renting out, that's a business. That's an investment. It can make you money. That's what you wanted to do. You wanted to make you money. So own a business. I encourage each of you to think about it and think about it in a deep, profound way. What business do I want to create, or what business do I want to own? Because at the end of the day, if you own a business, you have a chance of creating some serious financial success for yourself. I mean, serious financial success. You own that business, and you can put into it what you want to put into it to make it work for you. So highly recommend you think about some type of business that you can own. There's every person in here that's an adult can own a business. There's got to be something that drives you, that you like doing, and it's probably the best situation for you to start a business in. You know what I mean? Create that business. Another asset is owning real estate. Yeah, own some real estate. You know, real estate is probably one of the biggest areas that create millionaires. You know, I don't know how many millionaires we have in here tonight. If we have a room full of millionaires, that's great. If we have a few people in here, millionaires, that's great as well. If we have everybody in here that wants to be millionaires, that's great too. But if you do want to be a millionaire, you got to do some of the stuff that I'm talking about here. Okay? You can be there. I mean, you can achieve that regardless of your age in here. Even if you're a young person in here, one day you could become a millionaire by doing some of the things that I'm talking about. They put you at the right point. And real estate is one of those areas where there's a lot of millionaires created from. You can buy, sell houses, flip them. You can buy land and resell it. You can buy land and develop it. There's just a lot of things around real estate. And I'm not trying to tell everybody in here to go into real estate. It's just an option. It's an option. Okay? So mutual funds, business, own real estate, own stocks, own mutual funds, own the bonds. Those are areas where you can create a lot of value. You know, I personally own a lot of stock. I probably shouldn't say we own a lot of stock. We own a lot of mutual funds. And, you know, these things are creating some value for us. You know, it's creating value for us with us sitting here doing nothing. And that's what you can get out of stocks and mutual funds. Oh, yeah, you can lose too. Yeah, but if you look at the market, historically, we're going to win. And we're kind of in a down market right now. But now's the time to think about some of those stocks that you want to buy, because they probably are at that lower rate. And you buy them now and they go up later, you just create a tremendous amount of value for yourself. Okay? And then the fourth asset group would be commodities. So things like oil and gas and gold and silver, those type things. There's a lot of people that invest a lot of money into gold and silver, and they put it in places where it's kept safe. That's one area I haven't got into, so I really can't tell you a lot of details about it, but I just know it's one of those assets that you can get into that can create value for you. Okay? So what does financial freedom mean to you folks? I know I asked that question last time. Is it the same thing that we talked about? Debt free? Yeah. Let's be debt free. Let's have financial freedom. There's no reason for us to have debt being held over our heads and we can't do the things that we want to do. If we want to take a trip to watch the Dallas Cowboys beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, We can take it.
So just so you know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And I don't like the Steelers. But yeah, we can take that trip. No problem. We can jump on a plane, we can rent a car and drive, we can get there and we can buy the tickets. Those are the type of things that we want to certainly be able to do if that's what we want to do. If we want to go buy a new bicycle, we can go buy a new bicycle. Yeah. If we want to go buy a brand new pair of tennis shoes, guess what? We can pay for those tennis shoes and we don't have to put them on a credit card. We can pay for those tennis shoes and not have to put them on a credit card. But if we do choose to put them on a credit card, what are we going to do at the end of the month? We're going to pay it off. Yeah, again, there's nothing wrong with a credit card. The problem is people carry a balance, and you don't want to do that. Utilize that money, pay it off at the end of the month. That simple. I hope I'm making sense with what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah. So create some generational wealth. Don't be so worried about yourself, but be worried about creating generational wealth. And, you know, and I'm not saying create a lot of wealth so that when you're gone, you leave it to everybody and they just blow through it. You got to have some conversations with the people in your family to say, hey, you're only going to get some of this generational wealth if you're doing certain things. If you're not doing these certain things, you ain't getting none of this. Because the worst thing in the world is to throw wealth at somebody and they just blow it. But us as individuals, I really believe it strongly. I know what my belief is for me, and I know my wife thinks the same thing, is we need to create generational wealth. And I can tell you, that's what we're working on. We're working on creating generational wealth for our family members, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I want every person here to consider themselves the CEO of their financial system. You're the CEO. So you need to create some things so that you achieve the level of financial success that's required to make you very successful. You're the CEO, okay? Make it happen. Yeah, make it happen. And just to kind of recap overall the things that you want to do to create that financial wealth. One is create a budget. I've said it 1,000 times, and I purposely said it 1,000 times because that's the power. You get the budget, you have a chance of being successful. If you don't ever create that budget, it won't happen. And, you know, and there's some people that'll say, hey, I don't need no budget. Maybe you don't think you need a budget, but you do. You need a budget so you can understand where you're spending your money. Okay? Number two, don't spend more than you make. Don't spend more than you make. It's a very simple principle, but most people, or a lot of people, I should say, spend more than they make. That's why they pay on that credit card monthly with the minimum payment. They spend more than they make. So don't do it. And along with number two, create multiple streams of income. Figure out what works for you and create that multiple stream of income. And as I said last time, figure out something that you like. Figure it out. And
it may just so happen turn into a multiple stream of income for you. Okay? Number three, save a percentage of your income. The more you can save, the better off you're going to be long term. Save a percentage of your income. Number four, invest a percentage of your income. Figure out some things to invest in and invest in those things to help generate more income. I know we have a couple people in here that are retired, but when you become retired, you want to have a nice retirement. And if you're not close to retirement age, now's the time is when you really want to be creating some value that's going to carry over to your retirement days. You know, Deneen, when you retire, what do you want to do?
Travel.
Yeah. Deneen wants to travel more. My wife wants to travel more. I'm not going to say anything about travel, but she wants to travel more. Deneen wants to travel more. There's nothing wrong with that. But guess what? When you travel, it costs money. So now's the time for Deneen and my wife to be preparing for those retirement days when they want to travel more. And I guarantee you, I know she's preparing for it. And I'm pretty confident that Deneen's preparing for it. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but prepare for that. And when you retire, it's not the time to try to prepare for traveling. It's too late. By the way, I don't like to travel, but but I will travel with my wife because she does like to travel. Okay. And number five, I didn't get to yet. Be generous. You know, I think I used this example the last time. You're at the grocery store, and you see this couple up there, and in your mind you're saying, I think I'm just gonna go ahead and pay for their grocery. And it don't necessarily have to be a couple that you think struggling. Just be generous. Be generous to people. And I'm going to tell you, more than anything that I try to be generous with is my time. I try to give my time to different things so that I can help other people be successful. And one of my primary focuses is around football. I really like spending a lot of time around athletes and trying to make sure that they do good in school so that they can go to college and come out of college and get them a good job, because most people that play sports, football, are probably just like me. They're playing high school football. They think they're the best thing that ever happened. They know for sure that they're going to be playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, yeah, I was scheduled to play for the Dallas Cowboys. But guess who scheduled me? I scheduled myself. But when it comes down to it, only 1% of college athletes play in the NFL. 1%. That's very small. So the best thing you can do is, and I knew that, was to get an education. So luckily, I was smart enough to know that I need to get an education, even though I knew I was going to play for the Cowboys. I knew it. It was automatic, but it didn't happen. I'm still waiting on them to call me, Marion. I don't think they're going to call me now because I'm really slow now. I couldn't make the team. So I encourage you to be generous, and I try to be generous with showing dreams, because young athletes to really focus on education, Don't try to dampen their dreams, because you want people to dream. If somebody had told me I wasn't playing in the NFL, we probably would be still fighting, because I was convinced. And there's no reason to try to not convince Marion that he's not going to play in the NFL. Let's just convince Marion that he needs to get a good education to go along with him playing in the NFL. And if he doesn't make it to the NFL, guess what? He can get a good job with a company called Torrington or Timken and can do well in life, you know? And that's what it's about. So certainly be generous, and I'm not telling you folks to be generous with your time with young people like I try to be. I'm just saying be generous if it's giving money to different people, or paying for somebody's lunch, paying for somebody's dinner, buying their groceries, whatever. But be generous, and you'll see that it'll open up some hearts. And one of the things I see by trying to help other people is sometimes it'll open their hearts. And they'll say, I thought he was a bad person. I thought people that looked just like Marion were bad. But Marion helped me, and I know that he's got a good heart. And it'll make them think and see that, you know what, I probably need to give other people that look like Marion a chance. They're probably okay. So that's what generous can do. It can open up some hearts and help make our society a much better place for everybody to live. Because in the end, we want to live in a good place. We want to live in a good place. And our part is to be generous to help make it a better place for all of us to live in. Okay? Any questions on any of that? Last thing I like to do is take us through a quick scenario of us purchasing a stock. We're going to purchase a stock here, and then we're going to talk about several things that happens with this stock. And we'll see how things change just based off of the market. So we make some gadgets. We make gadgets, and the starting is trading at $100 is $100. Okay? So our stock is trading at $100 a share. And what should be trying to do? What do we want to do? Do we want the stock to go up or down? All right. Absolutely. We want it to go up. Okay? So, thank you. So, I know my lines are straight, so just kind of bearing that with me on that. So, again, our stock starts out at $100. We have a volunteer. We're an organization, and sometimes we get volunteers to come in and help us from here and there. But as I said, we're making gadgets. So the first scenario that happens is the company recalls 100,000 gadgets. We just had to recall 100,000 gadgets. What do you think is going to happen in month one? Yeah, it's going to go down. So So if we had to recall some gadgets, it's going to go down, isn't it? So month one, we'll say it dropped down $10. So it's at $90. So that don't look good, does it? So what are we going to do, Mary? What are we going to do? We're going to hold on. Yeah. Now, didn't you say you were in quality too, Marion? Man, how did you let that happen? Okay, I got you. Sometimes it happens. Huh? Okay. So what Marion just told us is we figured out what was wrong. And we made some improvements. So month two, the company gadget sales went higher because on that recall, it was a positive recall. It was a recall that really made our customers feel good. They felt good about it. They said, hey, this is a good company because they did not have to recall these gadgets for this. They recalled the gadgets just because they wanted to, just make it better. And Marion, being in quality, did get better. Yeah, he did it. So these gadgets, guess what the price did? It went back up $10. So month two, we're back at $100 a share. So that's a pretty good thing. So here I have my operations manager right here. Here's the operation manager, Margaret. Operation manager. So what are y'all doing out there, Margaret? What are you doing out there with these gadgets? You didn't make enough last month. No. What? What the problem is, we had another company come in and make more gadgets than we made for the month. How did we let that happen, Margaret? Wow. So we didn't do a good job. So now, instead of dropping $10, it dropped $20. So we're down here in week three, a month three. Yeah, I'm so used to talking about weeks. That should be right here. I'm going to let you draw on here if you don't mind. Do you mind doing it? Yeah, I'm having a struggle there. So I know when I can't do something, guess what? I let somebody else do it. That's the way we got to be, right? I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect. She can get me straight. You got me straight, right? All right. Thank you. All right. So now we move over to month number four. It's in the July, August time frame. You know, our company, we have a weather forecaster in our company. I mean, this person works in our plant. Deneen, she forecasts the weather. We know what the weather's going to do, and we know all this. And Deneen, she said the weather in July and August was going to be great. But guess what happened? We had a hurricane come through, and we weren't prepared. Deneen, how did you not prepare us for that? Okay. So you folks know I'm joking, so don't take this serious. So our stock price fell $30 more. So we're down to $50 now. Yeah, month four is $50. So just estimate kind of where you think 50 is. And you can put 50 on top of it so we won't lose count of where we're at. That's 80. So put 50 about right here. Yeah, right 50. Just right 50. That'll be the point. So we'll keep up with the value. So our VP of marketing right here has decided that hey, we need to change some things in our strategy, and we found a way to do some things from a marketing standpoint, and our stock price rose by $20. Great job. Yeah. So, yeah, Loretta got it done for us. So week five, it goes to $70. Yeah, so right here, week five, $70. So, yeah, so this is going good. Week five, $70. So now I keep saying weeks because that's what I talk about all the time at work, weeks. This says months up here. So in month six, the company starts selling gadgets in two new countries. Our global expert figured out ways we could sell some of these gadgets to Japan and to China, and our stock price went up another $30. I mean, we're so thankful to have this global expert on the team. So now we're back at $100. We're back at $100. Our weather person, Deneen, not only is she our weather person, she's a big-time celebrity. Yeah. Oh, she's known all around the world. And there were some people saw her using some of our products, our gadgets. And it really caused our sales to go through the roof. So just thank you, Deneen, for using our gadgets. So it went up $35. So now we're up $135. So we decided that we were going to buy one of the leading companies in America and merge with us. Guess what it did for our stock? It doubled. So now our stock is $270, right? Yeah, we're calling the broker. I have 2 million shares. Guess what? I dumped them all today. Yeah, I dumped them all today. So I just went through this scenario because I highly recommend if you're buying stock, you understand something about the company. You need to understand some of the type scenario stuff that I just talked about. So you know if this company is a stable company or not. So you know whether you're making a good decision. You know, I'll just tell you. And I'm not telling you to buy these stocks. So if you buy them, you're buying them at your own risk. But I believe in stocks and some fairly stable companies that pay dividends. I'm a Disney person. I'm a Duke Energy person. I like stocks like that. I recently bought some shares in Ford Motor Company. I'm into electric vehicles. Ford's got this new electric truck coming out, and I think it's going to really take off, and I think Ford's going to do pretty good. And although Ford's into it, most of the other automakers are too, so I'm a good supporter of GM stock. And all those stocks pay pretty good dividends and have paid good dividends a long time. And of course, I work for Temkin, so I'm quite naturally a Temkin stock person. And the Temkin stock has done very, very well over the years. I can remember buying a lot of shares of Temkin stock at $10, and today it's like $68, $70. So it's like that's a big jump in stock, and it all depends on the number of shares you have. And if you have a lot of shares, you just made a lot of money type deal. So those are the type of stocks I'm into, but you need to talk to your financial advisors, financial managers to get the stocks you want. But I still recommend you as an individual understand something about the company. Don't just go with what a financial manager says blindly. They're going to try to lead you appropriately, but it's your money. You're paying that broker a certain percentage, so that broker is going to get paid regardless of what your stock does. So you want to make sure it's headed in the right direction. Create a plan or budget. Get out of debt. Live on less than you make. Invest wisely. Be generous. Be generous. Find out your passion and live through it, okay? What are you passionate about? Whatever you're passionate about, get involved with it and you'll be amazed with what it may do for you even financially. Because if you're passionate about it, it's something that you want to spend your time doing. It can help lead you to that financial freedom. Be debt free.